best of my ability through the application of this program. And I, after a very short time, I didn't regret a drink I ever took. I didn't regret a dime I ever spent on it. I didn't regret one insane thing I ever done under the influence of alcohol. I regretted the heartaches that I caused my loved ones, yes. But if that's what it took, that's what it took. As I stand before you today, if I had not been an alcoholic, I wouldn't be here. I have no regrets of what I have done in the past, whatsoever. I wouldn't have the life that I've got today if I had not been an alcoholic. I would have not found a way of life that I could live and be happy if I had not been an alcoholic. I wouldn't be standing here today if I had not been an alcoholic. So what do I regret? There is no stigma in being an alcoholic, a sober alcoholic. There is no stigma whatsoever of what you did yesterday. It's what you do today that counts. Believe me when I tell you this. In this little one-horse town I live in, I have never had anybody come up and slap me on the back and say, "Wesley, I'm glad to see you're wall-eyed and loop-legged." Never have. I've never been congratulated for being drunk. Has anybody in this room ever been congratulated for being drunk? But I'll tell you, many, 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 many times in the last 32 years, I have been slapped on the back and said, "Wesley, you're a credit to the community. We need more people like you in our community." How about that? Is that stigma? I ask you. People enjoy the attraction of Alcoholics Anonymous. People that's living this program, they enjoy the freshness of it. Because, you see, we are different. We are different. We are different. So I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I've came to believe, and I found my spiritual manager. But you know, it's an amazing thing. I wouldn't trust my spiritual manager, which was the Prince of Peace, like I trusted these two human beings. You know, I'd turn it over to him and take it back. Turn it over to him and take it back. I never did that with them. I did what Chris told me, and I turned my money over to Rena. And I had a tremendous job trusting God. Can you imagine that? A human being having trouble trusting God. How could I be that stupid? I don't know. But I'd turn it over and take it back. And I found out, you know how I did it? I found out that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in two states of bondages. A bondage of alcoholism and the bondage of self, S-E-L-F. I got rid of the bondage of alcoholism in the first half of the first step. As long as I don't take a drink, I have broke the bondage of alcohol. But then I've got this bondage of self. And until I surrender to the bondage of self like I surrendered to the bondage of alcohol, I'm in trouble. Because I keep self between me and the sunlight of the Spirit. And this self darkens the sunlight out. I pull the shade. Because I am still relying upon Wesley Parrish, and I cannot rely on my self-knowledge. My way is the wrong way. I'm an alcoholic. This is what the book tells me. In the third step, it says in a little prayer that, see, I wish I had a program. You have a program? In the program, it says, the little prayer here is the beginning of the first step. I can read it. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, S-E-L-F. Relieve me of the bondage of self. As long as that self is in the way, you cut out the sunlight of the Spirit. Just that way. And I had to surrender to self just like I surrendered. Because, you see, as long as I was depending on me, my knowledge was keeping fear inside of me. And I wouldn't let go of these old ideas. As long as self will not let go of those old ideas, you're blocking out the sunlight of the Spirit. So in the big book it says we try to hold on to these old ideas and the results is nil until we let go of them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so therefore, I had to surrender to self and tell God, here I am. It's your way, not my way anymore. I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand it. And that is a complete statement of trust. And somewhere over on about page 97 of the big book, it says, brand on every man's mind that he can stay sober regardless of anyone. The only thing he has to do is trust God and clean house. Isn't that right, Otto? That's right. Trust God and clean house. It doesn't say clean house and trust God. No, it says trust God, then you clean house. Because you have to have courage to look at yourself exactly the way you are, not the way you pretend to be, Wesley. All my life, I pretended to be something that I wasn't. And as long as I had fear inside of me, and as long as I was trying to hold on to those old ideas, I could never do it. But as soon as I trusted God, I got full of the sunlight of the Spirit, and I wanted to take that fourth step. And I got me a pencil and paper out, and I wrote down on that piece of paper without hesitation what my trouble was. And it's not the one man I ever heard put it into words, and that was Howard Benhoff of Cleveland, Ohio. And Howard said that when he took the fourth step and he diagnosed it, analyzed it, he said he found out that he had gangrene of the soul. And I don't know no other way to spread it. That's as good a way as any. But you see, I became honest. I became honest. Honest with myself. I put down on that paper exactly what I was supposed to. And I became honest with God because he knows what I put down on that paper. And then I have to go to the fifth step. And what does the fifth step say? That you've got to be honest with one other person, with another human being. There is humanly impossible to take the fifth step unless you are honest with God, honest with yourself, and honest with your fellow man. And this takes courage. And this is nothing but a process of deflation. And then you become willing to make amends. To get rid of your shortcomings. And then you humbly ask him to remove your shortcomings. It's all stepping down from self. And then you make amends. And then for the first time in your life, whenever it's going to involve someone else and get them in trouble, you don't make those amends. You hold them within yourself, and that's deflation. For the first time in your life, you start taking your fellow man in consideration and not hurting them anymore. And then after you've done all this, it says then you continue to do what you've done in the past. Now, I disagree with Cease about what he said, that I can take the first nine steps and throw them away. Now, I disagree with that. I ain't throwing nothing in this program away. But that's Cease's business, but I'm telling you mine. I ain't throwing nothing away. I'm going to hold on to all of it. It says continue to take a personal inventory. When you lay your head on the pillow tonight, Wesley, you take your inventory. If you've done anything that's wrong, you promptly admit it. You see, it's just like Chris told me. Anything worrying me, get rid of it. Don't let it paramount in you. Get rid of it. Thank God I learned that. And then it says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our contact with God as we understand him. Praying only the knowledge of his will for us and to carry that out. What's God's will for me? God's will for me is for me to just build a better me, that's all. God said, build a better world. And I said, how? It's so large and so complicated, and there's nothing I can do. I'm so small and useless, I am. And God in all his wisdom said, well, just build a better you. That's all I care about. And this is what this 11th step is about. Just build a better you. And then it says, after you have done all this, it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, then you have a message to carry to other alcoholics. And you try to carry this message. You walk down the street to your hometown sober. It's the best 12-step job you can do. And you practice the principles in all your affairs. Well, that's one-third of the program. One-third of the program. Just 15 more minutes, Grace. I ain't going to get hung up. I got into this second half one time, and Grace said I was supposed to go to Dallas and catch a plane, and we got there just about 2 seconds before the plane took off. And what a ride I had. Never forget it. But anyway, after you have gone through the 12 steps, you have had this spiritual awakening. How are you going to maintain this spiritual awakening? How are you going to keep the process of this deflation? Isn't that a very interesting question? You ain't going to quit living, are you? Well, you know, this bugged me. And I darn near lost what I had because, you know, I stopped going. And I was like Johnny was talking last night, you know. God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. And he was giving me everything in life that anyone could enjoy. And he was even giving me pleasures of life. And he was giving me happiness because I had spiritual abundance and I had material abundance. But that self come back in. And you know what I started to do? I started to say, you know, I'm not doing anything about my retirement. I'm going to have to work a little harder. I've been doing too much in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been spending too much time. I'm going to kind of take a sabbatical. You know, I'm not going to work as hard. I'm going to turn it over to the newcomers. Oh, you ever do that, Chuck? Yeah. I'm robbing them of some of the duties that they should be performing in the program just to keep them sober. That's a bunch of hooey. And I got in one... See, when you come in this AA, you come in a state of bondage. And from bondage, you get out of bondage by faith. And from faith, you get courage, because courage is without fear. Faith is the absence of fear. Fear is the absence of faith. And so you get courage to look at yourself exactly the way you are and start your house cleaning. And then from the fifth step on, you get freedom. Oh, freedom in abundance. If anyone should enjoy freedom, it's an alcoholic that's rid of his old alcoholic thinking. There's no greater freedom of oneself. And from there, you go to the abundance. You get in the apex of this program. And you start have spiritual abundance and material abundance. And you're a happy human being. New automobiles, new homes, new this, new that. Money in your pocket, in the bag. Your wife loves you. Goes to bed with you every night. Have all these wonderful things. And then you start thinking, I just better start relying on retirement. I'm 42 years old and I just ain't got a dime saved. I'm going to have to work harder. The telephone rings. And the man says, you know, I want you to come out to my house tonight and give me a bid on some air conditioning. Tonight's meeting night. And you say to yourself, well, I've been wanting to go over here tomorrow night. Thursday night meeting. I've got some friends there. I haven't been to that group lately, and I'm going to go out and see this man tonight and sell these air conditioners and start my retirement plan, and I'll go out to this group tomorrow night to make up the meeting. Now, that sounds logical, doesn't it? Well, I go out, and I make this deal, and how sweet it is, you know? And Thursday come along, and maybe the same thing happened, but I forgot about these meetings Thursday night, and I go a week without a meeting. And then I go back to my meeting on Wednesday night, and I walk in, and not one soul says about me being absent from the Wednesday before. Not one soul knew I wasn't there. All I have done for this group. And that's all they miss me. Well, I'm not too damn important after all, am I? And then you start getting full of complacency because you start looking at the people, and you say to yourself, well, if it hadn't have been for me, he wouldn't have made it. Look what all I've done for him. I saved his marriage. Look how well his children are doing. It's me. I have transmitted myself into him. How fortunate he is. It's complacency, a quiet pleasure inside. A quiet pleasure. And then from that you become indifferent. You become in a state of apathy. You start forgetting about AA. And the first thing you know, you'll say, well, I'll go down there once a month, and I'll sit on the back row. And if somebody would like to have a few pearls of wisdom, I'll say that for 5 minutes, and I'll give it to them, and then I'll leave. And then if you don't keep on, you get through dependency. You start relying upon yourself again, and that's the worst thing an alcoholic can do. You cannot rely upon your self-knowledge. Believe me when I tell you that. The big book tells you that. You start depending upon yourself. You forget about your family. You forget about God. You forget about your group. You forget about everybody but the big I. And then if you're not careful, you go right back into bondage again. It's a vicious circle. And this is why we live this program one day at a time. And when you're at the top, when you're at the apex of this program, is when you've got to work the hardest. Never forget that. When you have to work the hardest. And I got in this position. And just through the grace of God, my sponsor caught me at the right time and told me what I was doing. And I found my answer in this, in the growing, in a book called AA Comes of Age. Now, it's not many people read this book, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because every year I check the conference report, and it tells how many of these books are sold. A little improvement last year. It was less than 20,000 sold last year out of 33,000 groups. The year before, it was less than 15,000 sold out of 30,000 groups. So you know not many people read this book from that statistic. But this is number two as far as I'm concerned, next to the big book. Dr. Tebow has a little writing in the back of this book, if I can find my glasses here. I want to read it to you. To tell you, this ain't no Florida propaganda, what I'm trying to give you. And they don't print this book specially for Florida. They have them in Texas, too. And California, Dr. Chuck. It says here, it is common knowledge that a return of full-fledged ego can happen at any time. Years of sobriety has no insurance against reoccurrence. No AA, regardless of his veteran status, can ever relax his guard against the encroachment of a revising ego. Recently, one AA writing to another reported that he was suffering, he feared, from halitosis. A reference to the smugness and self-complacency which so easily can creep into an individual with years of sobriety behind him. That was written years ago. You see, we can never rest on our law. The big book says that. You can never rest on your law. Well, I found that the tradition is a continuation of the 12 steps. And you said, well, where did you get that information? I got it on page 136 out of AA Comes of Age. It says, therefore, each of our 12 traditions is really an expression of the deflation that each of us has to take, of the sacrifice that we shall all have to make in order to live, work and live together. You see, I have to continue on deflating after I get through the 12 steps. I have to find some way of life to grow. There is an old cliche in AA that says you got to grow or you got to go, one of the two. And when the alcoholic stops growing, he starts going backwards. And when he starts going backwards or going downhill, he becomes complacent. He becomes full of apathy. He starts depending upon himself, and he gets right back in the bondage again. How many times have you seen this in your own community? And so I have found the answer to me in this particular category, and to start remaking or building my life farther than the 12 steps. You see, it just so happens that, in my opinion, the 12 steps is only one-third of the program. We have a symbol, and it says recovery, It's the foundation. There's no doubt about that. The most important. You can't do nothing in AA without a foundation. And that is the 12 steps. But then you have to put the walls on the house and the roof, and the walls are the traditions. A continuation of the 12 steps in this process of deflation is to keep yourself deflated. And so I use the traditions at the eye level. I use the 12 steps at the eye level. And so therefore I can use the 12 traditions at the eye level. And here's the way I do it. And when I found this out, things beyond my fondest dreams happened. The first one, and I'm going to read them in the first person. My common welfare comes first. Me staying sober is my biggest business every day. Every day of my life. I'm an alcoholic. It comes before my family, it comes before my job or business, and it comes before society. Because without me being sober, I'm nothing. My personal recovery depends upon AA unity. My personal recovery depends upon me living in unity with you, not you living in unity with me. That has anything to do with it. I've got to love you whether you love me or not. Now, if I want to lose what I've got in AA, all I have to do is I don't like you and you don't like me. And so, therefore, we get into a word battle. We get into anger. We get into resentments. And my big book tells me that's fatal. I lose everything that I've acquired in the program. And so, therefore, it's imperative to me that I love you, that I live in unity with you. You know, the greatest teacher on earth once said, what is it to love those who love you? That's nothing. But to love those who hate you is something. Now, the rest of the world don't live that way. And we can live that way because that is part of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are not normal anyway, so we can afford to live that way. And I'll say to you this, if you try it with the 12 steps in your everyday life, things will happen to you beyond your fondest dreams. Now, you say, well, how do I start living in unity? Well, I'll tell you, here's a good start. I know you don't do this in Texas, but here's the way they start living in unity in Florida. It's called the Shady Dozen. Anybody in here ever heard of the Shady Dozen? I know. Now, this is Florida, what happens to people in Florida, not in Texas. The Shady Dozen is this. I heard, they say, everybody says, have you heard? Isn't it awful? People say, did you ever? Somebody said, would you think? Don't say I told you. Oh, I think it's terrible. Now, if you start living those 12 shady dozens absent from your everyday conversation, you will start living the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. You'll start living in unity with people because it's one thing that tears AA up quicker than others. It's a shady dozen. And it makes people dislike you quicker than anything in the world. It's just delicious gossip. But live in unity with your fellow man if you want to be happy. Now, if you don't, all of this is predicated on that. If you want to be happy, if you don't want to be happy, be out of tune. Be out of tune. The second one says, I have but one unlovable authority, a loving God as he expresses himself in my conscience. I'm but a trusted servant. I do not govern. An unlovable authority, a loving God. This is the same loving God I turned my life over to in the third step. His love is spontaneous, it's unlimited, and it's unmotivated. He loves me in spite of me. If I do wrong, and I know I do wrong, if I go back to him, he receives me just the same, like I've never done nothing. Someone said that last night. He loves me, this loving God. And for me to show gratitude for this love that he offers me, I am his servant. I am his servant, and I am your servant. And I have never seen a servant yet that was a boss, have you? This is deflation. I have been everything an Alcoholics Anonymous a human being can be. A bleeding deacon. A sanctified AA member. The governor, the president. I've been everything. But the happy position in Alcoholics Anonymous is just to be a servant of God and a servant to his fellow man. There's no better way to live a happy life. And this is what this program is all about. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. I stop drinking every day of my life. Do you? I do. Because I still suffer from the disease of alcoholism. I have the only requirement, I have no right to say whether you're an alcoholic or whether you're not an alcoholic. You say that, not me. I don't care if a person takes one drink and he doesn't like what alcohol does for him and he says, I'm going to join Alcoholics Anonymous. It's all right with me. You know, we have a lot of Al-Anons that come through the back door. Did you know that? A lot of them. And they are members of Alcoholics Anonymous if they have a desire to stop drinking. And this relieves me of inventory taking. You know, I don't have to take anybody's inventory anymore. I used to say, he'll never make it. He'll never make it. He don't have what it takes. I don't have to say that no more. He or she has just as much right to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous as I do. It's according to what they diagnose their own case at. That's all. But the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is for alcoholics. That's it. Now, if anybody else wants to use it, as far as I'm concerned, glory be to them. But this is the program for alcoholics. I should always be autonomous, except in matters affecting AA as a whole. Autonomous means self-governed. I should always stand up on my own two feet. I've got a doctor's degree in negative thinking. I can outlie, out-cheat, out-steal any so-called normal person. And I have lost none of those qualities just because I'm sober. I'm a sober liar. I'm a sober thief. And I know how to be dishonest. But I'm not that anymore. And for me to maintain this, I've got to be autonomous. I've got to stand firm on my own two feet and be counted. There's a little sign in Pompano Beach that says this: anything just about right is wrong. AA ought to be fully self-supporting, planning outside of contributions. You say, what's that got to do with staying sober and being happy? It's got everything to do with being sober and being happy. You show me a person that don't meet their responsibility, and I'll show you a person that's not happy. That's all. Just that simple. And we have a program that is self-supporting by its membership. Are you a member of Alcoholics Anonymous? Then you have a responsibility. That's all. It's just that simple. You're being honest in this program. Your responsibility is to support the program. I used to sit next to a millionaire when I first came in AA, and I sit by him just to refresh your resentment every week, that's all. I liked it, you know, because every time that basket went by him, he picked out a little old pinch pocketbook and he'd snap that thing open, you'd hear it all over the room, and he'd reach in there and do like this and come out with a Texas half, that's a dime, and he'd drop it in that basket, and I'd say that tight son of a bitch. If he don't put but a dime in there, I'm not going to put anything. And I didn't put anything either. Just that simple. Now, who was I hurting? Who was I hurting? Me. Because I wasn't meeting my responsibility. You see, I was watering down my AA. I was diluting my program because I wasn't being honest. I wasn't doing my part. I had no business to say what this man does. If he thought a dime was all he was, his part was responsible for that meeting, that's his business, no business of mine. I don't say give till it hurts, but I do say give till it feels good. And you know what I mean. Support the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Today we have no strings attached. Why do we have no strings attached? It's because we do not let no one else support us. We are fully self-supporting by our membership, and our membership includes you if you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is your responsibility to pay your just share if you want to be happy. You want to be happy, that's all. Do you see what these 12 traditions do for me? They're deflating me right off. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the alcoholic who still suffers. I still suffer every day of my life from alcoholism. Do you? Are you here this weekend for the medicine for your disease? Well, I'm here for medicine for my disease. Well, if this be true, then you are supposed to 12-step me every time you see me. And I'm supposed to 12-step you every time I see you. In other words, I'm supposed to love you every time you see... I'm supposed to love you every time I see you, and you're supposed to love me every time you see me. This is it. We 12-step each other. We love each other. We carry the message to each other. This is the attraction of this program. The love. This is what this building is... This program is built on, is love. Absolute love. Love is patience. Love is never jealous. Love is never rude. Love is never irritating. Love is never resenting. Love is never condemning. Love is never discouraging. Love never fails. It never fails. Dr. Bob says this program is based on two things, love and service. Love and service. And this is still what this program is all about, love and service. Serve each other, love each other just like you love a new member that walks through the door. You know, an old-timer comes to your meeting, and he's hurting all over. He's had a bad day. And he wants some help. And he walks into the meeting. And nobody ever says a word to him because he's got it made. Why, he's been sober 20 years. He don't have no trouble. That's a bunch of hooey. You don't ever have it made in Alcoholics Anonymous. And don't you ever kid yourself. Old-timers need 12-stepping just like newcomers. And don't you ever forget it. 12-step these old-timers in your group. All over the land, you say they're not around anymore. Well, are they left out, pushed out, or what are they? You have to make that decision. But get them back into your group and love them. Give them something to do. Give them something to do. That's what they want. They want to work in Alcoholics Anonymous. They want to be show their gratitude for this program. But they're pushed out. Make them part of. And this is what they want to be. And I think this will bring more old-timers back to AA than anything else. It's 12-stepping. They need 12-stepping just like the newcomer. Well, from there, for further deflation, you go to service. But you have to have recovery and unity. And Bill wrote the third legacy in Alcoholics Anonymous for one thing, and that was just to relieve Alcoholics Anonymous of politics. Get rid of politics. That when we pick our servants, we pick them according to their ability, not according to their personality. When you go around and start picking GSRs and committeemen and everything else just to keep them sober, you're wrong. I'll tell you that right now. We only pick the best of an Alcoholics Anonymous to serve us. And this is what the third legacy is all about, is to eliminate politics, favoritism.